Take your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you would. If you find yourself with extra time on your hands, or you just like a little something to do this next week, there's a camp meeting down in Alvarado that is hosted by Brother Steve Lindsay and his church, and it's held at, I think that's called the Old Settlers Reunion Ground, something like that. But that's where it's at. So if you find yourself with extra time, I think it starts in the morning at 10 o'clock and it goes through Thursday evening. So the evening services, I think, start at 7. So if you get a chance to go, I think you might enjoy yourself. So, all right, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just want to read a couple of verses here. Look, if you will, at verse 6. The Bible said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I have kept the faith." I want you to notice that phrase, if you would, there in verse 7, where the Apostle Paul said, "I have finished my course." I've finished my course. We're here at the beginning of a new year, all right? You say, "Man, that was a few weeks ago." I know, but we're just in the beginning, all right? We're just in those beginning stages. But it's always there at the new year. People make plans. They even make vows, and we call them resolutions about things that we're going to do during the year, all right? And hopefully, you're still hanging in there. You haven't bailed out already, you know, on those New Year's resolutions. But and it's a good thing. By the way, there's nothing in the world wrong with deciding, hey, this year I want to do this, and I want to maybe make some changes in my life or my plans or whatever. It's a good thing to do that. But I'll remind you, success is not measured by your beginning, okay? Success is not measured that way. Honor and recognition don't come to the man who starts. The only time that's true is if you're in NASCAR, I guess, if you're the starter, all right? But other than that, it doesn't work that way. Satisfaction, contentment, they're byproducts, not of a well-planned launch. Okay? No, those things come to those who finish. It's good to start things. Good to have those high hopes. It's good to have great determination and to think, man, I'm going to do it. I've never done it before. I'm going to do it. Hey, good thing. But I want to remind you, the test comes at the end of the year. The test comes at the end of the year. The question is, will you be found faithful at the end, all right? Will you finish what you've started? Will you finish what you started? Now, I think every Christian ought to set out and say, I'm going to do my best to read my Bible through this year. But that's a great thing, all right? But will you finish? Will you finish? Will you complete it, all right? Hey, I understand we vow to do. We lay some careful plans out there of all the things we've got in mind and the ways we're going to accomplish our goal, and yet a number of people fail. They don't finish. It's even got so bad some people won't even plan because they failed so many times in past years. So I'm not even going to say I'm going to do it. Hey, that's the wrong approach, all right? Wrong approach. The Apostle Paul knew the importance of finishing. He knew the importance of finishing. Look back in Acts chapter 20, all right? Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. I want you to know this. He made plans. He made plans to finish, all right? He made plans to finish. In verse Acts 20, verse 24, he said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul said, man, I don't count anything even as important as finishing my course. He made plans. He laid plans. He said, I'm going to finish what I'm doing, all right? Got a two-point sermon tonight. Number one, some things demand finishing. Some things demand finishing. Now, everything doesn't demand you finish. Everything doesn't. The truth is, your Bible reading, nobody's going to come by your house and break your arm if at the end of this year you haven't finished the Bible reading. Nobody's going to do that. We're not going to come by and say, I'm going to look at your Bible reading chart, see how you're doing, because we're going to expose you to the world. We're not going to do that. Now, should it be finished? Well, of course it ought to be finished. But it doesn't demand finishing. Hey, that quilt, maybe some of you are quilters and you've been working on a quilt. All right? It's there. I've known of quilts, people making them, and they lay around for years and don't ever get finished. Hey, well, there's no demand that you have to do that. That diet you're on. There's no demand that you have to finish, all right? There's not a demand there. There's not, nobody's going to come lop off a leg and say, now you've lost the weight you needed to, all right? Hey, we're not going to do that. Those things don't, but there are some things that demand finish. You said, preacher, like what? Number one, your marriage. Your marriage. You need to finish your marriage. Now, I got news for you. Disappointments are going to come. There's going to be disappointments. You're going to find out the person you married is not perfect like you are. Okay? There's going to be disappointments. I mean, usually those things don't take too long to show up, okay? You find out, hey, they're not perfect. Little things, oftentimes little, sometimes big. All of your dreams in marriage may not get accomplished. They may not, because some people have totally unreasonable, unrealistic dreams tied to marriage. All right? They do. But that's not a reason, and it's not even an excuse to quit on your marriage. Hey, it needs to be finished. You need to decide, we're going to finish this thing. When I walked down the aisle, and I didn't walk down the aisle, I stood up here. Well, I did walk down the aisle. I had to walk down the aisle to go get in that room over there, all right? And then when it came time, I came out, and a little later, here comes my bride. But when we stood up here, it was a commitment. We're going to finish this thing. We're going to finish this thing. Now, it hasn't always been just smooth sailing. It's been smooth sailing. It hasn't. There's been some disappointments. Hey, sometimes those disappointments even lead to discouragement. Discouragement can come along, all right? But, hey, you need to remember something. When you stand and you unite yourself with another in marriage, you're making a vow, not just each other, but you're making a vow before God. It's a vow before God that we've taken. And that means those discouragements, hey, we need to get past them, all right? The world really doesn't think too much about that vow before God, but the child of God should. I want to remind you, marriage is not man's idea, it's God's idea. I hear people today say, well, man wasn't designed to be monogamous. Where in the world did you get that stupid idea? Where'd you get that idea? You know, that's a world's idea. That's the idea born of the flesh and through lust. And look, the folks that are famous, they're famous at failing in marriage. Hey, you need to stick with it. You need to realize disappointments may come, all right? But that vow says, until death do us part. All right? That is the marriage. Nothing. We need to have a commitment that my marriage is going to last. Now, nothing lasts unless some effort's put into it. Nothing lasts. Brother Wade and I were talking. Talking about churches we know and we've been part of in times past that no longer exist. You say, well, what happened? Well, it wasn't God's fault. I don't believe it's God's fault. The church where Dad pastored in Florida, where we left and moved to Texas, he became pastor of this church. And when that church down there, if you drive down Palm Beach Boulevard in Tice, Florida, where it was, it's the building, it's not even there. It's gone. Now, I don't know if something else has been built, but I've heard that, hey, the building, it's gone. It's no longer there. Whole thing's torn down. The church doesn't exist anymore. Why? Well, because somebody quit putting the effort into things. That's why. We didn't put the effort into things that we ought to put into. Hey, if your marriage is going to last, take some work. Even your house slowly fall down if there's no upkeep. My wife and I, we lived for 19 years over on Neches, and that house had vinyl siding on it. I get so aggravated because there was one piece of vinyl siding that it would droop. Poof. And I'd go back in there and take it, tack it back up, get it there. It seemed like it was no time. Poof, it drooping again, you know. Hey, if you don't ever take care of those little things like that, whole thing will fall down eventually. It will. It has to be maintained. Hey, your marriage is not accidentally going to last. There has to be some effort put into it. There has to be some work. It needs upkeep, all right? It needs that effort. You have to put it into it. You said, preacher, whose marriage is in danger of crumbling? Every one of us. Every one of us. If we don't put the effort into it. We quit putting that effort into it. If we quit affirming our love for our spouse. If we start looking around somebody else that we think will satisfy us more. Well, that's not going to happen, okay? Because we're imperfect people. Old saying says, stick with the one that brung you, okay? Man, look, you got married, stick it out. Stick it out. Now, I'll tell you this, if you're here and you're not married, you ought to think long and hard and pray long and hard before you get married. Don't just take the only one that'll have you, okay? There's worse things than being single. And one of them is being married to the wrong person. Terrible thing. But listen, you need to make sure your marriage, you finish it. You finish it. You finish that all the way out to the end until either you die, your spouse dies, or the Lord comes back. Finish it. Finish it. But not only does your marriage demand finishing, but so does your ministry. Demands that you finish it. Now, I realize I'm preaching to a group of laymen for the most part. But wait a minute. You say, I have no ministry. I'm not. Wait a minute. You do have a ministry. You do. You ought to. Every Christian ought to have a ministry of some sort, some way that you're serving God. Serving God. And by the way, I would say this to you. If you do have a ministry, it wouldn't hurt if you got another one. All right? And add to, you don't just have to say, well, that's it, this one, this is it, this is all I do, okay? I straighten the songbooks after church. That's my ministry. Hey, that's a good thing to do. I'm in favor of it. It's a good thing to have the songbook straight, okay? But I'm saying that you can do more than that, all right? You can do more than that. Maybe you're a greeter. Maybe you're an usher. Maybe you're a helper. Maybe you're just one that shows up when needed and the word goes out, we need some help. There you are, okay? I don't care what it is. If it's putting up tables and chairs in the fellowship hall, I'll be there. I'll help, okay? If it's a work day outside and just cleaning up the grounds and things like that. Brother McNabb, he used to keep things around here spotless. I mean, he'd come up every week and sometimes more than once a week, and he would walk around. He'd pick up trash. I've seen him up, and I'd seen him bending over, and I thought, there's no trash there. And he's got this little scrap. He's picking it up. And man, what a difference it made. What a difference it made. The wind would blow, man, it'd blow from the south, and there'd be 4,000 papers pasted against that fence over here on the north side of our property. But after Brother McNabb started that, that didn't show anymore. That was gone. It was gone. I mean, you couldn't do it. He even went so far when he couldn't find stuff here. He had crossed the street over there, and about 4 feet in the strip, he was picking up paper over there because he knew if it was over there, there's a good chance it'd wind up over here. And the interesting thing was the tales he would tell me of how much money he found out there. So we don't have anybody do that anymore. I'm just sort of throwing that out there. He said, I don't have a ministry. Hey, the ministry of groundskeeping, okay. Boy, he kept it up. It looked good. It was sharp. After he did that, he'd, If there was grass growing up but in the sidewalk, he'd take that little sharpshooter shovel and dig it out. Dig it out. He said, "Preach, that's not much of a ministry." It made a difference around here. Made a difference around here. Hey, I'm telling you, that ministry that you have doesn't need to be deserted at a certain retirement age. If you can still do it, then do it. Just do it. Just finish your ministry. Finish your ministry. Unless you just get to the point where you absolutely can't do it anymore. Now, I do not look forward to the day coming in my life when I can no longer preach or I can no longer teach. I love doing those things. Man, there's just nothing like it. Nothing like it for me. I hope that day never comes. I would rather just drop dead. Now, I don't have a desire to die in the pulpit, okay? But I would a lot rather just drop dead than get to the point where I was feeble and could no longer take care of the ministry God's given me. But I want to say this to you. If that day comes, I surely intend to find something I can do to still be a blessing and still be a help in the Lord's work. I don't want to just sit on the sideline in a rocking chair and watch somebody else doing. I have no desire for that, okay? I'm not ready to, as I say, well, pass the baton to the next. No, as long as I can serve God, I want to be doing that. I don't want to quit. I don't want to fall out. But, man, if it gets to where I can't do the talking maybe anymore on soul winning, I'll try to go be the silent partner. Now, it's the hardest thing in the world to do if you've used to been doing one who does the talking. I've tried to take people out and train them to witness to folks. And those times that you say, okay, this one's all yours. This one's all yours. It's hard to stand there with your mouth shut. It's hard to do that. I remember the first time I was out with Brother Autry. And we had gone together many times. And I said, all right, we're coming up this house or apartment. I think it was an apartment. I said, all right, Brother Autry, this one's yours. I'm just going to let you handle it. And we knocked on the door and he introduced himself and he introduced me and he said, okay, Brother Mosley, you got it. I remember that day, but then I remember later the day he came back rejoicing when he had won his first person to the Lord. Hey, but if the day comes, I've got to be the silent partner. I'll just go be the silent partner. I'll just do that. If the best I can do is sing off-key in the choir, I'll sing off-key in the choir. My brother and I will harmonize well, all right? We can do that. Don't mind that. If I can't teach anymore, then I'll try to be the teacher's helper, all right? I just want something to do. I want to finish my ministry. Now, Paul said he had finished his course. That was based on God's timing and God's will. Now, if you're familiar with it, you understand Paul knew he was going to die soon, all right? But he wanted to keep going strong until the Lord said, you're finished. You're finished. Want to finish. Hey, you need to finish your race in the Christian life. It's not enough for you to serve the Lord for 20 years or 25 years. You need to serve him until the day you die. Finish your race. I don't know how many times I've knocked on doors. And those of you that do it, you've done it too. And heard people say, yeah, I used to go to church. I used to be, I was a Sunday school teacher. And I used to go. I said, where you go now? Well, we don't go. I want to kick them. So what's wrong with you? You got to finish your ministry. Hey, those two things that demand they be finished, your marriage and your ministry. Now, here's the second point. There's some things that are demanded for you to finish. Some things are demanded. If you're going to finish, you need to focus. You need to focus. And we were talking about the Apostle Paul. Let's go back, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. You said, what was it that allowed him to finish? What was it about him that allowed him to get to the end of his life and to the end of his race and for him to be able to say, I have finished my course? Philippians chapter 3, would you look with me at verse 13? He was focused. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this, notice, one thing I do. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, this one thing I do. If you go back in this chapter and look down in verse 8, he said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The end of that verse says that I may win Christ. Then verse 10, it's that I may know him. Know him. Hey, his focus was on the Lord Jesus Christ. His focus was, here I am, all right? And this is the reason he was constantly pressing forward to accomplish that which he was focused upon. I'm focused on that deal. I'm going to finish. And I one thing I do, not 800, but one thing I do, I'm pressing on. I'm keeping going. I can't stop and rejoice over the victories won there and in the past and the things that have happened in the past, but I'm focused on going on because I'm going to finish this race. He was focused. He must remain focused. Too many times in our lives, we find ourselves going in five or six different directions because we're not focused. We're not focused. There have been times in my life where I knew, look, I've got a day coming. I have got a lot of things I need to do. Well, now, I don't know about you, but I can easily get distracted. Okay? So I knew I've got all these things I need to get done. I'd list them. I write me a list. I said, there's my list. I've got to do these tomorrow. And I'm going to get up the next day. There was my list, and I begin to check them off. At the end of the day, most of the time I could get there and I'd have every one of them checked off. Why? Because I stayed focused. This is what I have to get done. Hey, that lack of focus causes a lot of people to leave a lot started, but not much finished. Not much finished, all right? Hey, I had better success when I was focused. Better success when I was focused. If I don't care what you're going to do. You just pick an activity. If you want to be a successful hunter, you need to be focused. You don't need to be in there daydreaming. I have gone hunting before. I go with my cousin, and he and I'll never forget one time he lived down in southeast Texas at the time, and I went down there, and he and I went squirrel hunting. And we got on a pipeline, drove down this pipeline, and parked his vehicle and got out and went into the woods and kind of spread out a little bit. I sat down beside a tree, and it's dark, all right, dark the whole time. It's just beginning sunrise coming up, just the dawn beginning. And we sat there a while, and the sun came up. The squirrel came into view, and I shot him. And you said, what'd you do that for? Because I was planning to eat him, all right? He said, did you? Yes, I did, all right? So we shot that squirrel, and when I did, I found out later, when I pulled that trigger, that's what woke my cousin up. Because he had sat down beside the tree, he had gone to sleep. And so nothing else went on for a little while. We got up and we walked to each other. And he said, okay, all right. He said, let's go. I said, that's the wrong way, man. He said, no, this way. I said, that's not the way we came in. He said, that's almost exactly the opposite. We came in back this way. No, we came in. I said, look, you've been asleep. You don't know where you are, okay? You don't know where you are. We went the way I said, and sure enough, we walked out on that pipeline, and there was his truck, you know. Hey, but he lost focus, okay? He lost focus. That can happen to you. It can happen to anybody. Listen, if you say, what's demanded for me to be able to finish? Stay focused. Stay focused. And the other thing really goes right along with it. look, if you will, in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This just as important. They go hand in glove together. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you will. Verse, you've heard it, and you'll hear it again, all right? Because it's one of those that need to be read and reminded of. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. You said, how can I finish my course? Number one, you need to stay focused. But secondly, you just need to be faithful. Notice what it says. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that that last word in that verse is not talented. There's no requirement you be talented. There is no requirement you be gifted. Gifted. Hey, you said I don't have any gifts. That's all right. You can be faithful. Well, I don't have any talents. That's okay. You can be faithful. You know what? You don't have to have a high IQ. You can be faithful. You can be faithful. There's none of those things that the world values so much does God put a big value on, but what he does put a big value on is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now, any one of us can be faithful. Don't care where you are. You can be faithful on your bus route. You can be faithful in your Sunday school class. You can be faithful to be an usher. You can be faithful to be the door opener. Brother Minyard's usually here. I mentioned this morning he's staying home. He was exposed last Wednesday to COVID, and so he's home today. But he usually, if he's around here, he comes in early on Sunday morning, and he and I'll sit in the office, and the first person he hears outside, we'll be sitting talking, first person he hears outside, he'll get up and say, well, I better get and open that door for everybody. He's got something to do. And then he stands out there and he opens the door and greets people. And what a good thing to do. That's a good thing. That's a blessing, all right? A blessing. There's nothing like having somebody at the door to open that door and greet you with a smile and say, come on in. And you know what? Doesn't take a lot of talent. Doesn't take a lot of brains. And I'm not saying Brother Minyard has no brains or no talent, all right? But I'm saying none of those things are required. What's required is faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm just going to be faithful. Let me say this to you. God never requires something that we cannot do. Never. If he says it's required that we be faithful, then we can be faithful. We can be faithful. I mean, just here we are, all right? If we're going to finish our race in this life, we just need to be faithful. We need to stay focused. Stay focused. Remember, we talked about that. If you're in the race, you better be focused. If you're running a race, you better be focused. You better be looking down the road, looking. This is here. We're headed for the finish line. And just be faithful to pick up one foot and lay it down, all right? Pick up the next one, lay it down. Just be faithful to keep going. That's all. That's all. Well, preacher, you know, I could have slept in this morning. Hey, I'll tell you, I could have slept in this afternoon. I was in my recliner and things were going well, okay? I was watching TV with both eyes closed, and what a good thing that is to do, all right? And, we could have. Said, why'd you get up? I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. He said, no, preacher, you have to come because you're the pastor. I can call in sick when I'm not sick. I don't. Not interested in doing that, but you could. Hey, wait a minute. There's somebody else involved. The Lord's watching. This race we're running, it's not to impress each other. Okay? We're not here to impress one another. Hey, see what I did? No. Our race is before God. I want to be faithful. I want to finish that race. Hey, anybody can be faithful. First, just show up. Just show up, okay? Just be there. Do your job. Whatever it is, do your job. Give it your best. Give it your best. First thing I ever did when I started working for the church was the janitor. First thing, I mowed the grass. Now, I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I think when I mow the grass, I want the grass to look good. I don't want little sprigs left up here or there. The most aggravating thing in the world to me is mow the grass, put up the lawnmower, and get out, and there's a sprig. Just infuriates me. I know that blade of grass was laying down. And after it was cut, it goes, there you go. Nanny, nanny, nanny. Hey, I want to get out the scissors. How you like that? Hey, just to be found faithful, do your job. Give it your best. Give it your best. I don't care what the job is. The faithful man keeps at it. He just stays with it. Doesn't quit. Will not quit. Will not give up. Well, I like that. I don't know how old Mrs. Davis was before she quit playing the organ for us. Said, why'd she quit? Because they moved her around Waco. When she was down there, guess what? She played in the nursing home. She didn't quit. I don't know if you ever noticed her little hands. Man, they were twisted. Her fingers were twisted by arthritis. I have a hard time getting my straight fingers land on the right keys on the piano. I don't know how she ever made it with those twisted fingers of hers. Hey, but she is faithful. She's faithful. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if you'll focus and you'll be faithful, you can finish your course. You can finish your course. The problem is you've got to determine in your heart, in your life, that you're going to finish. You're going to finish. These things demand a finish, okay? These things demand a finish. I'll come back to that whole diet thing because I know how many people have gone on diets and bailed out. And y'all all know I'm on one right now. I want to bail out of that thing so bad. Man, it just eats at me. I want out of it. I told my wife this last week, okay, I gave in to an urge. Said I ate 3 peanut M&Ms. Man, were they good. And that whole jar of peanut M&Ms said, come back, come back. We miss you, okay? I thought, not near as much as I miss y'all, okay? Hey, wait a minute, though. There's got to be a focus. It doesn't bother me about your diet, but it does bother me about your ministry. It does bother me about your marriage. Well, we need to finish. We need to finish. Remember, the reward, the recognition, all the good things comes to those who finish. It's not how well you start. It's going to be remembered. It's how well you finish. How well you finish. Listen, you can give your life to God. Years and years ago, it was at Terminal Baptist Church over on 1800 Terminal Road. It's where our church was located when we moved to Texas and Dad became pastor. I remember walking the aisle in that church and giving myself to God for full-time Christian service. I don't ever want to quit. I want to finish. I want to finish. I want you to finish. Because one of these days I want to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ and I want to hear, well done. And I want to hear it for you. I want you to hear, well done. You finished your course. You stuck it out. You stayed with it. You stayed with it. The laurels don't come because you started. Okay, the recognition doesn't come because you started. The reward comes when you finish. How determined are you to finish? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes tonight? Listen, God dealing with you. I mean, how determined? Maybe you need to walk out. I'm not trying to encourage you to do something God doesn't encourage you to do. But maybe you need to step out and say, Lord, I promise you right here that I will finish the work you've given me to do. Whatever it is, I want to finish. I want to be found faithful. Be found faithful. Don't want to lose focus through life and let other things pull me aside. I want to be found faithful. I want to finish this race. I want to finish it. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, as we come to the invitation time, we'd realize the important thing in life is not how we started. It's not where we started. It's not when we started. The important thing is, Lord, how did we finish? How did we finish? Lord, would you help us to determine in our heart and life we're going to finish for you. We're going to finish this race you've given us to run. We're going to give it everything we've got. We'll do our best. And Lord, maybe not be talented, maybe not be gifted, but Lord, we can be faithful. Help us to do that, I pray in your name. Amen.